It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A Wisconsin Assembly Committee is holding a hearing today calling on State Superintendent Jill Underley to testify in response to an investigation by the Capital Times into teacher misconduct cases in the state.
The Cap Times report released last week uncovered 200 teacher sexual misconduct and grooming investigations by Wisconsin educator licensing officials from 2018 to 2023.
The report has raised concerns about the way districts handle those complaints and investigations, and lawmakers and the DPI superintendent have called for changes since it came out.
Danielle Duclos is an investigative reporter for the Cap Times. Her year-long investigation sparked these proposed laws and scrutiny for the state DPI. Danielle, thanks a lot for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
What brought you into this story in the first place?
Yeah, so I've been covering educator sexual misconduct and grooming for a while, and I actually covered one case in Green Bay when I was a reporter there. And that case showed me that there's a lot more than just one school district or one case. And so I really set out to answer the question, how often is this happening in the state of Wisconsin? And so that led me to this investigation to try to answer that question. And so the Cap Times spent the last year, as you said, looking at the investigations conducted by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction.
What did you find about how these kind of investigations are handled?
Yes. So the department does, on average, about 113 investigations a year, and they get complaints from a variety of sources. So they get them from school districts, and they can also get them from community members as well. So parents, they also can get them from law enforcement. And so then they review that, open an investigation, and then start the fact-finding process to see if they can take the teacher's license or if they're going to close the case.
113 investigations a year, that includes more than just sexual misconduct and grooming, if I'm doing my math right.
Yes. So 113 is for all different types of misconduct. So they investigate a bunch of different types, whether that's a teacher maybe misusing school funds to physical assault, maybe hitting a child, and then also sexual misconduct and grooming.
A lot of the concerns that lawmakers have had since your reporting is about transparency, I guess, is the key word here. What happens to those reports? What happens to that information after that investigation is launched? What are some of the concerns you ran into?
Yeah, so the Cap Times obtained this information via public records requests. And so how we did our data analysis is we requested the Department of Public Instruction's internal case tracking document that has all their investigations that they've conducted going back to 2018, which is why we started with that year. And then we stopped at 2023, which is where most of the information was at the time we obtained the document. Mm-hmm. And so we started coding that conduct based on internal definitions by the Department of Public Instruction and started to categorize. And there's just a lot of case files. You have to go and ask for individual educator case files if you want information about a specific educator or more in depth. And the Cap Times did do that. We asked for 10 case files in April to see how long it would take to get that. And to put that in perspective, 10 case files, right, is less than 10% of their annual average caseload. And it took until September for us to get those 10 files back, so over 4 months. So access to that information is takes some time.
And in an updated piece that came out yesterday, you looked into what happens when you go to districts themselves. How easy is it to get that kind of information at that level?
That was a little surprising. We had some very big prices that districts wanted to charge. The Janesville School District wanted to charge $245,000 to provide these types of records from 2017 through January of 2025. And obviously, the Cap Times does not quite have that money to pay for that. And then the Middleton School District wanted more than $40,000. The Madison School District wanted more than $4,000. And so it adds up over time. They are not necessarily organizing these records in a way that's super easy to find them. A lot of districts were saying they'd have to hand inspect every single personnel file to find these records.
Now, people hear sexual misconduct and grooming. What kind of behaviors are you seeing? A few examples of the cases you saw that are turning up in these investigations.
Yeah, so sexual misconduct and grooming is a broad spectrum of behaviors. And as Dr. Carol Shakeshaft, a researcher who's been studying this for decades, defines it, it includes physical, verbal, visual, and electronic behaviors. So it can be anything from actual abuse, and then it can also be things that are boundary crossings that reflect more of a peer-to-peer relationship rather than that of a student and teacher. So that can be things like spending excessive time outside of school, one-on-one, alone and isolated, not affiliated with educational activities, things like that.
Mm-hmm. The obvious concern here is if a teacher is investigated, leaves that job, do they keep their license? Or even if they lose their license, can they get other jobs? with access to kids. What kind of things are in place that that follow that teacher? What kind of things aren't in place?
Right. So if an educator loses their license in the state of Wisconsin, whether it's revoked by the state or they voluntarily give their license up, there is a public license status lookup run by the Department of Public Instruction. So you can search that educator's name and see the current status of their license. So it says, is it active? Is it currently under investigation? Did they give up their license? Is it revoked? But that's all the information that's there. The why is missing. And that was something that the advocates and prevention, the prevention advocates and researchers I spoke with were concerned about, is that the reason why someone lost their license isn't as easily accessible. The Department of Public Instruction does report when someone loses their license to a private database that's nationwide, so that if an educator goes to another state and tries to get a teaching license, that information is available. But it's not available to the general public. And so the researchers and folks I was speaking with for the story raised concern about working with kids in non-licensed roles, right? Maybe you go work at a summer camp, or maybe as a private coach for recreational sports or something like that.
I could see a teacher saying, well, hold on now. I was accused. I was investigated. I say wrongfully. I was never charged. I was never convicted. Why should that follow me around in my records and possibly ruin my chances of employment in the future? On the privacy side, for a person accused, not convicted, what kind of concerns did you see raised?
For not convicted, so do you mean someone who has kept their license and was...
Well, these things haven't been proven in a court of law. I say I was falsely accused in these cases, so why should this information follow me? Would be a concern I could see a teacher raising.
Right. So if someone loses their license or it's taken by the state, something that the researchers or advocates I was speaking with, for a prevention standpoint, understanding why, and also... you know, in the part two that came out yesterday, the government transparency advocates I spoke with, you know, there's interest in understanding how the government, whether it's Department of Public Instruction or individual school districts, are conducting these investigations, right? And it raises that point as well that you brought up, is are these investigations being conducted thoroughly and fairly on both ends of the spectrum?
We're talking to Danielle Duclos, reporter at the Cap Times, looking at her reporting on accusations, investigations of teacher sexual misconduct and grooming, how they're handled. And Danielle, since your first report came out, a lot of response. State lawmakers saying, hey, we need to change some stuff here. What are you hearing from them? What are they starting to get rolling?
Yeah, so Representative Amanda Nedweski has said that she's drafting some legislation. It's hard to say what that'll look like in practice without seeing the actual introduced bill text. But one of the things that she mentioned was preventing educators from being able to voluntarily surrender their licenses in order to close an investigation with the Department of Public Instruction. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how you know, lawmakers talk about that. As I mentioned earlier, the conversations I was having with these prevention advocates and researchers for this story was more around the transparency about why someone lost their license and having that information available. And as mentioned in the reporting, the Department of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services, which oversees hundreds of other state licensed professionals, doctors, architects, accountants, landscape architects, didn't know that was a job until I started this reporting. You can look up there if they've lost a license, why, and any other disciplinary actions taken against their licenses in a public lookup.
The state's Department of Public Instruction, obviously at the center of this story. You've gotten various responses from the superintendent, Jill Underley. The sequence of things you heard in response from her office.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Cap Times stands by its reporting. We asked Dr. Underley for an interview prior to publication, and since she released her statement, we asked her for another interview, and she declined that. She said she's open to a long overdue conversation about licensing and how these investigations are conducted, so I'm interested to see where that conversation goes and what lawmakers have to say and what goes from here.
In your first report, another something that came up was resources at the Department of Public Instruction to do those investigations many a year. What do those resources look like?
Yeah, so the Department of Public Instruction has one full-time investigator and then one part-time investigator doing those 113 cases on average each year. And they said that that's not enough. And the researchers I spoke with also raised alarm at that. They also talked about the Department of Public Instruction mentioned having their funding cut consistently and not having enough funding to update their licensing software and do things like that. So under-resourced in terms of staffing as well as funding.
looking at other states, and I'm guessing some lawmakers are doing that right about now, and you talked to some advocates as well. What are examples from other states that could be on the table here in Wisconsin?
Yes, so the CapTimes is going to have reporting coming out looking exactly at that, so don't want to put the cart before the horse, but some things in terms of transparency, like Arizona, Pennsylvania, Idaho, they put out annual reports looking at the data. So something that one of the researchers I spoke with, Billie Jo Grant, she's a prevention trainer as well as a researcher on sexual misconduct in schools. She said that understanding the scale of a problem is really important in order to allocate solutions, right? How much is in funding is needed? What's actually needed to solve this problem? And so having more data would be really helpful. So these other states like Arizona actually breaks down to how many investigations they conducted, what counties are those complaints coming from, what types of conduct are they investigating, the outcomes of those investigations. And that data would be probably very helpful for Wisconsin to also have.
So we've got a hearing in the state legislature today. You're looking ahead at what other states are doing. Where is your reporting going from here? Or what are you watching for next in the story?
Yeah, so we have a few more installments of the series coming out over the next month. And then I'm also going to be monitoring what happens in the legislature and what conversations evolve and how those are changing and what the Department of Public Instruction has to say as they ask for changes.
It's still early days in the legislative response. Are you seeing Republican versus Democrat on this, or are you seeing some bipartisan interest in changes here?
That's something that I asked Representative Nidweski when I talked to her about the bills that she's drafting, and it's really early, obviously, and so the conversations are just starting, and so it'll be interesting to see how those unfold.
Danielle, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Been talking to Danielle Duclos, investigative reporter for the Cap Times. She was with us today to share her reporting on how the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction handles cases of teacher sexual misconduct and grooming. You can follow her reporting at the Cap Times. And if you have questions about how these things work, if you've encountered a situation like this, maybe as a student, a teacher, a parent in your own district, let us know. You can email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.